Amen. So I'm excited this morning to have Jesse, one of our pastors in training, also attending the Baptist College of Florida, distance learning. Are you learning?
Try to.
And it's the first Sunday of 2020. So typically a message has like 3 points in a poem, but it's 2020, so he's going to have 20 points. So just settle in. We'll bring you some extra coffee. No.
Have some popcorn and stuff too.
God bless you. Share the word, brother.
Good morning, everybody. For those of you guys who don't know, if you're new, I see a lot of familiar faces, but if you guys don't know, my name is Jesse Coleman. Like Jeff said, I'm pastor in training here and attending the Baptist College of Florida, doing my classes online right now while working and doing all kinds of other things. And I'm the collegiate ministry leader here at church, and we're revamping that ministry as well, looking for a lot of new growth in the new year. Excited to see what's going to happen with that ministry. Got some big plans for it. And by way of other introductions about who I am, in case some of you guys don't know me personally, I am a huge fan of all things nerd and sci-fi culture and superheroes and comic books and all of that. And I know some of you guys, it's not a big surprise because you know me. But for those of you who don't know, that is the case. I am a huge nerd when it comes to all that kind of stuff. And especially something of kind of recent news, there's been a lot of new Star Wars things that have been coming out in this last year. A new movie, end of a trilogy, lots of excitement there for everybody who's into that culture. And then something else that's kind of taken the culture by storm, and especially on social media too, is a show that's on Disney Plus, the new streaming service, called The Mandalorian. And when we get the slides up here this morning, you guys will be able to see what I'm talking about. We've got the title of our message this morning is called "This Is the Way." So if anybody's seen the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about right off the bat. For those of you guys who have not seen The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, I won't spoil anything in case you're planning on seeing it. You don't got to worry about that. I'm not going to give away any big secrets or anything. But examining the show, watching it, really enjoying it, it was really startling to me to see that there were a lot of things that jumped out to me that, like the character of the main character of the show, he displays a lot of quality characteristics as a person. And something about it was just like, man, this reminds me of something. I don't know, you know, where this is coming from or where I'm getting this from, but something just seems familiar about the way that this guy is treating other people. He's acting towards other people. And oddly enough, when I started to really kind of examine things, a lot of characteristics were similar between this main character of the show and Christ and his ministry to the people while he was here on this earth. And I know that may sound a little bit crazy, but stick with me because I promise that it's all going to make sense. For a little bit more context with the character from The Mandalorian, okay, we're going to go a little deep dive into some Star Wars history here. The Mandalorians are a group or a tribe of warrior people, and they're not normally known for being people of good character or good quality, because them being a warrior culture, a lot of them are mercenaries or bounty hunters. So, not the best qualities of character when we're talking about Jesus, but this guy on this show, our main character from the Mandalorian series, is different. He's cut from a different cloth when it comes to the people that he's normally associating with. And that's what I mean by he shares some characteristics with Christ. So, all right, so the first point that we have this morning is the same as the title. It's This is the Way. And for those of you guys who haven't seen the show and you heard the people who had seen the show, they kind of chuckled a little bit whenever I said that's what we were talking about this morning, because it is a phrase or a mantra that is repeated frequently throughout the show by the main character, the Mandalorian himself. And it's kind of a code or a greeting or, you know, something that they say to one another. And what it means is that it's kind of like a way to justify or to clarify sticking to their code, their creed that they follow. And a lot of that, since they are a fighter or a warrior culture, is sticking up for one another or having each other's back. And as we see in this show, if you guys get the chance to watch it, it has a lot to do with looking out for others as well. And so those are the kinds of things that I started to recognize where I'm like, you know what? This has a lot of crossovers or tie-ins to the things that Christ was doing in his ministry on here on earth, because Jesus' ministry was all about loving and caring for the people that he was around and looking out for his disciples, his brothers that he walked with. And teaching them and taking care of them. So that's kind of where, there we go, our PowerPoint is up. All right, it's a good graphic there. That's our character, the Mandalorian from the show, in case any of you guys were wondering what he looks like. All right. And so as I was watching this show and, you know, like I said, kind of examining and kind of picking out key details of the character of this show, I started to realize, you know, they have a certain way that they do things, the Mandalorians, how they look out for each other and take care of one another. And that's why they repeat, this is the way. And I noticed the same thing about Christ's ministry. And it's even laid out in Scripture for us that Christ is the way. So as we move forward this morning, the first allusion that I pulled from this show to the ministry of Christ was, what is the way when we're talking about Christ, when we're talking about the ministry of Jesus, when we're talking about our relationship with Christ? And it reminded me of a kind of recent life experience that I want to share with you guys this morning. So for some of you guys who were here with us over the holidays, you guys might have caught wind. I had the opportunity that to be able to be a part of Christmas Lane in Plant City here over at the Strawberry Festival. And they did a live nativity there. My parents brought some of our farm animals up there, and they had a cast of actors who played out the manger scene, baby Jesus, the whole thing. And it was a really beautiful ceremony, and we did it four nights a week, two shows a night. So, you know, we were getting to meet and talk to a bunch of people, so it was a really, really cool experience. And at the end of the production of telling the nativity story, I had the opportunity to come up and talk to everybody a little bit more about Jesus and who he is and why we celebrate Christmas, and that, you know, it's not about the gifts, it's about Jesus, and, you know, kind of, you know, just explain the true reason of Christmas to everybody. Because a lot of the people who were coming out of Christmas Lane, They just know that it's a cool place to see Christmas lights and, you know, take pictures and have fun with your family. And they had no idea that there was going to be a manger scene, a nativity scene. And there were people that came that had no idea what a nativity was. They'd never heard of it. They didn't understand what that word meant, nativity. And so having the opportunity to talk and to share with the masses that came out of Christmas Lane, I didn't really have like a script per se to work off of. And so my first couple of nights, you know, I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to say, which was, you know, to kind of tie together the story of Jesus and his life and why that's important, and then relate it to the people and why it should be important for us to know the story of Jesus and know why he came to this earth and what he did while he was here. And so one of the things that, you know, eventually as I got my talking points worked out, you know, and had, you know, kind of my spiel per se, ready to go each night for each service, one of the things that I would tell everybody was that Jesus came to show us the way that we should live. And because of time restraints and, you know, kind of trying to keep everything, you know, short and concise and moving people through and stuff, I couldn't expound a whole lot, but I could give the people a general idea, hopefully to just get them asking questions and, you know, come join us here. But something kind of ate at me for, you know, the weeks since I did the speaking at Christmas Lane, that, you know, there's really a lot that goes into the way, the path that Jesus leads for us or that he shows us. And I would have loved to, you know, stood up there in front of those people for 30, 45 minutes and explain to them, you know, about the way that Jesus leads for us, the path that he gives us, the way that he shows us to live. And that was all evidenced by the life and the ministry that he left here on earth. And since I didn't have the opportunity to do it there, I'm going to do it now. So, we have our second point up there, which is, what is the way? So we're going to try to walk through some scripture this morning that will illustrate the life of Jesus as recorded by his disciples, that give us a good idea of what Jesus' ministry was like on this earth and why it was so important for us to understand, to take heed, and to work into our everyday lives. So I put the scriptures up here this morning. We'll have another set under that. So you guys can write these down for study later. I'll tell you guys what they are. I know the font's a little small there. So it's John 14, verses 1 through 6. It's Matthew 11, verses 4 through 5, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, and Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. And like we say here every Sunday, don't take my word for anything, take God's word for everything. So get these verses, you can look at them now. You can write them down, take them home, and examine them there later. But we're just going to pick through these now. So our first passage in John 14, verses 1 through 6. Just kind of a paraphrase of the scripture here. So we're at the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus is trying to tell the disciples all of this very important information before he leaves, before he's taken and crucified. And there comes a point down towards verse 6 where Thomas doesn't understand what Jesus is talking about, because Jesus says, and I'll read from the scripture here, your hearts must not trouble. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And then this is what I was just talking about with Thomas. You know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus very plainly lays out what the way is for his followers, for his disciples, and for us as Christians today. The way that we follow is Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's everything that we rely on, and we can't get to God without him. So, to know the way is to know Jesus, know his character, and to know his teachings and how he treats others. And so the rest of our verses that are up here right now are a few examples from Scripture that jumped out to me that really exemplify the character of Jesus and how he demonstrates how we should treat others. So Matthew 11, verses 4 and 5. Jesus replied to them, go and report to John what you have heard and what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have been told the good news. And then we'll jump down to verse 28. And this is Jesus speaking again. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So those two passages show us how Jesus cares for people, all of the miracles and the ways that he provided for, you know, kind of the lowly people that he was ministering to. And then here the passage that we just read is the things that we can kind of look forward to from Jesus as we join and follow him. So it's not a laborful relationship to know Christ. He says there at the end, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we can find rest, we can find peace in knowing who Jesus is. So our next point, kind of a odd word there. Some of you guys may not know what that is. If you've seen the show, you know what it is. So I'll explain. Another aspect of the Mandalorian culture, we're going to jump back to the show for a second, the show presents this idea of foundlings, okay? And foundlings are people or, you know, orphans that are taken in, taken care of and trained by the Mandalorian people, okay? So they are actively looking for those in need and to take them in, teach them, you know, their culture, their ways to survive, and they take care of them and they teach them. And kind of examining that portion of their culture, I saw another allusion to Jesus and his ministry, which is the fact that Jesus took on disciples. He took in 12 men that he decided to teach and to train to go out and to share the good news that he brought. And as far as it goes in the show, in the Mandalorian culture, it's a very honorable station or position to be able to take on a foundling and to teach them the ways of their culture and how to survive. So just the same, when we're looking at being a Christian, being a Christ follower, we are commanded something similarly from the Lord, which is the Great Commission to go out to all nations and all people and to share the good news with them, to teach them and to show them the way, which we've talked about, which is Jesus. So, another brief story. When this past spring, I went on our mission trip to Haiti and had the opportunity to teach some of the deacons of the church, some of the men of the church, down in Haiti. And we kind of traded off days who was teaching. And one of the days that I taught, the Lord just pressed this on me like very intensively, that I needed to share the importance of discipleship. Why is it important that we care about not only growing in our own faith, but helping others know Christ and then to help them, walk beside them and help them to know Christ, just as we do? And it was very clear to me, speaking to the leaders of the church in Haiti, why it was important for them, but also why it's important for me and really all of us here. When I was in Haiti, the reason why it was important, because I was speaking to the men of the church, the future leaders of the church, they needed to teach down to the younger generations and show them the way so that they could rise up with them and walk in the way just as they have. Because if people aren't taught the way of Christ's ministry, of his character, of how we should deal with one another, then they're not gonna, if they're not taught, they're not gonna know. And our next scripture kind of illustrates that. So again, scriptures up there, if you want to write them down, that's Romans 10, verses 14 and 15, and Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, excuse me. All right, and Romans 10, verses 14 and 15 are this. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they have been sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things. So there's kind of a call to action that if we're not actively going out and finding people and sharing Christ with them, how are they going to know? How are they going to know who Christ is? How are they going to know that he's our Savior and what he's done for us if we're not going out and teaching and preaching to the people that we run across? We have to be actively searching for people to engage in as disciples. We have to find our foundlings. All right, and then just another, you know, great point of emphasis here, our next couple of verses is Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, which is the Great Commission, which I know a lot of us know what that is because that's the mission statement of our church, but I'm just going to reemphasize it here. The Great Commission reads as this in verse 18 of chapter 28. Then Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So the emphasis that I want to make out of that passage, and this is great, so catch this if you can. We've been given the same power and the same authority as Jesus through our relationship with him to go out to all nations and to tell everybody that we run across. And then in verse 20, teach them everything that Jesus has taught us. So how do we teach How do we teach and train the disciples or the foundlings that come across us in our ministry? The best way that we can teach people the ways of Jesus is to live it out in our own lives. And I know that that's not always easy for us to come to terms with because we're all flawed. I'm flawed. There's things that I probably will never get a good grasp on because, you know, the ideas are just too above me. But my job that I have to do every single day is to take care of the things that I've been given, the opportunities that I've been given, the responsibilities that I've been given, and to give that back out into to the people or to the ministries that I'm serving in. And the best way that I can do that is to live a life that's Christ-led. The best way for people to be taught the proper way to do something is to show them how. And all of us come from different walks of life, but I know that we can all agree that that's true. The best way to be taught something is to be shown how to do it. And that's just the same for our relationship with Christ. We have to be living out our relationship with Christ every day. And that means being prayerful in everything that we do, every aspect of our life, every decision that we make, going to the Lord first and seeing what His will is over the matter and putting down our own. That means digging into the Scripture daily, you know, more than just the 5 or 10 minutes we allot for God in the morning when we have a second before, you know, we run out the door to work. It means being intentional about reading the instruction manual that God has left for us, which is His Scripture. And I know that that can be tough sometimes, and I'm not perfect at it either. You know, us being in this, you know, this first week of the year has, you know, kind of been enlightening to me because it's a fresh start. We all, you know, get this chance to start over with a new year. And I've seen where I've slacked off in this last year and not taken care of the things that I've needed taken care of. And that's, you know, in my ministry, but also in my personal relationship with the Lord, where I've, you know, relied more on my own understanding of things instead of turning to God and looking to Him for the answers. We're looking to Him for the path that I should be on. And that's something that we can all strive to do every single day. So, as I kind of wind things down a little bit, I want to ask you guys a bunch of rhetorical questions. Just some things to be thinking about, things to be mindful about as we progress forward into this new year as we look at the responsibilities that God has laid out before us. And as we examine whether or not we truly know what the way is, what the way that God has set out before us is, what that path looks like, and if we're actively seeking out people to bring alongside of us and to teach and to show them the way. Are we looking for disciples? Are we looking for foundlings? So, are we living in step with the ministry of Jesus? Are we living lives worth being on display to teach and to guide others? Are we loving God, loving others, and looking out for one another and caring for each other? Are we living in the light and the path of the way, which is Jesus Christ? And are we actively directing others towards the way? Jesus is the way and the example that we should be living after. This is the way. So if we could all bow our heads. We'll have a time of invitation and prayer. God, we thank You so much every day for every blessing that You provide us with. and for the path that you set out for each and every single one of us. God, you have a plan and a path for every single one of us. And it's our job to seek after what that is. Because God, you have a plan for every single one of us. And God, I thank you so much for continually teaching me such great lessons through the most unlikely sources, such as a TV show about Star Wars. You have a choice today, every single one of you in this room, to know the way, to know Jesus, and to be able to say that you know who he is and that you know what the way is. And the best way for us, the best way for us to know Jesus is to just ask him for his help. Lord, this world that we live in it's not easy. We all have things that consume us that we struggle with. But Lord, we have the choice today to turn those things over to you. And we have the choice today to know you as our personal Lord and Savior if we don't. And it's a very simple process that has huge after effects. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, and you would like to, you could say a simple prayer like this. Jesus, I'm tired of doing things my way. My way isn't working, and I want to know what your way is. Jesus, please forgive me for all the things that I've done wrong in my life and all of the wrong paths that I've taken. But now, Jesus, I'm choosing to devote myself to you and to your teachings and to your path. And I want you to be the personal Lord and Savior over my life and have that relationship with you where you teach me and guide me, Lord. Amen. Now, if anybody made that step this morning, I would say congratulations and welcome because you're a part of a new family. And what an important step you've taken into a greater work. As I think about how to round things off and sum them up this morning, I think I've provided myself with a pretty good exit here. There's one more character on the show that makes an impact in the very beginning, and when he decides that a conversation has reached its end or he's said all that needs to be said, which I feel like I have this morning too. He says, I have spoken. and I do the same. Thank you, guys.